You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Welcome to the Dynasty Draft Room, presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I am your host, Ryan Sirfox, joined, as always, with my co-host, Eric Adams. On tonight's show, we'll be discussing cornerstone wide receivers. Don't forget, you can support our show by pressing the subscribe button and leaving us a five-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. When you subscribe, you'll receive a daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, Devy, Fantasy Football Podcast news, all from the NFL Draft Bible. And we're going to talk some wide receivers tonight. Eric, how you doing?
Oh, I'm good, my man. I'm good and ready to get into it. This is part two of the whole meat and potatoes of fantasy here. We did the running backs last week. I'm excited to do the wide receivers this week.
Yep, and let's just jump right into it because we have a lot of guys to talk about because the wide receiver group right now in the NFL is absolutely packed. Yes. So with wide receivers, what are you looking for at the position when you're trying to find these studs?
Well, if we're talking about building block wide receivers, I view that as someone who gives you a what I like to call a gotta have it type of place. If you need a first down conversion, you need a big play, this is the guy you're targeting. Mr. Reliability, that's who this is. That's the name for the building block wide receiver, Mr. Reliability. A guy who can beat any coverage on the best day is what we're talking about here. So a lot of people can fall under that banner. I disagree. I think they're few and far between, and there's a lot of guys who want to be that guy. But Mr. Reliability, that's a building block wide receiver.
Yeah, I think you need someone who's reliable, gives you great floor, which it's hard to have a consistent week-by-week floor receiving position, and you need that ceiling. A guy has to have that trump smart roast, that big play speed, that over-the-top ability, something like that. One thing I do kind of want to touch on with trades for building block wide receivers, cornerstone pieces, what's your age limit where you're looking at where that cliff is? Because running back, it's kind of off carries in that 27, 28 range. Normally the second contract. Wide receiver's a little bit different because we got guys in their mid to late 20s who are just balling into their 30s. So where are you starting to get worried a little bit?
The moment they hit their 32 age year. 31, I think is when you really step back and be like, how well is this guy holding up in the NFL? I think 31 to 32 is when you start to see, all right, they look like they can go at least 2 to 3 more years. Or it's like, I could see this coming to an end pretty soon. So 31 to 32 is the age.
Does that mean you want to trade them away at 30 if Fletcher's on a title run because you want to get rid of them while they still have value?
Depends who it is. But yeah, at 30, I'm trying to make the projection. For me, it's 31. Okay. I like 31 looking at it. And if 31 doesn't go well, then it's time.
R.I.P. Julio. All right. Hopping into it. I'm going to bring up a couple guys we don't need to talk a ton about. We know they're good. Davante Adams, DeAndre Hopkins. They had 1,300 and 1,400 yards respectively. Adams had 18 touchdowns in 14 games. I mean, they're elite receivers. Hopkins showed quarterback doesn't matter for him. They're both 28. They got a few years left. Is there anything you want to add about those guys? I think they're pretty much locked in. You know what you're getting.
As consistent as they come. No words to be said.
I don't think there's somebody I'd be more comfortable in my lineup in than Davante Adams, and Hopkins is far behind.
Adams is definitely wide receiver one. There's no. I used to try to be a detractor for Davante Adams. No, not anymore.
That's he's just dominant. He puts up that week-to-week consistency you see out of running backs. Love Adams. Yeah. I think he's locked in. Guy who I think is close is Tyreek Hill. He's 27 right now. So he's a little older than I thought he was. I thought he was younger for some reason. But he had 1,276 yards, 15 touchdowns. He was second in deep targets, seventh in red zone targets, second in fantasy points per yard run, and he was ninth in targets. I don't know how he's not top five in – or not top four in Dynasty ADP startups. But, I mean, he's just – he's up there with Adams. Like, I'm as comfortable starting Tyreek Hill as either of those guys named. Are you there with him?
Yes.
Like, is there any other receivers you'd take over Hill other than those two guys?
There's only one guy. There's maybe two guys who I would give consideration to take over Tyreek Hill outside of Hopkins and Adams. Hill, the wide receiver two, finished this year tied to Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. The only concern with him is he seems to miss like a game or two every year. That's really it. That's literally the only concern I have with Tyreek Hill. He has no business falling below top three. I don't know how he's not in the top four. That is a major, major yikes for the dynasty. I can't believe that.
It really is. And you mentioned it. Who's the top guy who we didn't mention he'd take over him? Because this one may have dived deeper after these three guys.
Well, solid transition here. Stephon Diggs is definitely one of them. One of them.
Talk to me about Diggs.
Well, the question you proposed here on the show sheet is, will he get the respect he deserves as an elite wide receiver? Here's where I'm at on Diggs. He has three straight seasons with over 1,000 yards. He led the league in receiving yards this year. His quarterback has made one of the most monumental leaps I've ever seen from a quarterback. Yes, Stephon Diggs deserves to be talked about as an elite wide receiver. Unfortunately, people will come up with the whole, well, that was year one in Buffalo. Let's see him do it again in year two excuse, or they'll point to the whole regression thing with him. Look, screw that. Diggs is as elite as it gets, and he's going to be just as good in year two as he is in year one, and I have no questions about him going forward. You want questions about if he could be the guy without a guy like Adam Thielen next to him? The answer is yes.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it on the shows earlier before the season. He was really good with a nicely quarterback in Kirk Cousins. And he showed deeper ability when he was in Minnesota, but they never really had that as part of the offense. He went to Buffalo with a man with a cannon attached to his arm, Josh Allen, and we've seen fireworks all year.
Yep.
There's nothing you can say about Stephon Diggs where he isn't in that conversation now. He's an absolute star in the league, and I'm all in on him. I don't know if I'm taking him above any of the guys we mentioned. There's a couple other guys I think I take above him. But I think he's definitely an elite receiving receiver, and I think he's one of the more attainable ones in fantasy.
I agree.
So I want to hit the guy who is the 1.01 in Dynasty ADP now for the wide receiver. So fifth overall, 101 receivers. That's DK Metcalf. I'm not fully there yet with him there. I love the talent. I know he's an absolute freak in nature, but he doesn't have that consistent week-to-week ability yet. So he had this year four games where he had under double-digit PPR points, four games over 100 receiving yards, five games under 50. He was completely taken out of the game when he faced top-tier corners. Patrick Peterson, Jalen Ramsey, Jason Verrett all locked him down. I love the skill set. I love everything he has to do with it. The offense is run first. They commented about how they want to run more this year or coming up. And you have Lockett there, and they're never been a team to pass a lot. And I don't know if I want my wide receiver one attached to an offense like that.
The sad thing is it seems like they were trying to be that team that passed a lot this year. Like, this was kind of the year where they were like, you know what, screw the whole running thing. They still ran a lot, but screw the whole running thing. We're going to let Russ cook. They tried to let Russ cook. It didn't really work out that well, which is – you know, I guess Pete Carroll can say I told you so now because that's what he wants to be. I'm with you. Wide receiver one is a little aggressive. I'm going to get chided for this. People are going to roll their eyes at me if I say this. But coming out of the draft, man, DK was a very, very raw receiver. He's not – I know he could look dominant at times and he could dominate people on any given week, but I'm not surprised he got owned by some of those top-tier corners. He's – still got a ways to go. I don't think DK has scratched the ceiling yet. I think people are jumping the gun here with the wide receiver one thing. That's a little aggressive. With that said, I wrote down the guys who I would take over DK Metcalf, and there's only five guys I would take right now over him.
Okay.
I don't want to say the guys, though.
You don't want to say the guys yet? Let's move to his former teammate, AJ Brown. He is right now 10th overall ADP wide receiver four. So he's another one above Tyreek Hill. Yep. AJ Brown is so similar situation-wise to DK Metcalf. It's insane. So again, exact same thing. Four games over 100 yards, five games under 50. His yards per reception from his rookie year to his sophomore year went from 20.2 yards per reception to 15.3. So that absurd production he had his rookie year, it came back down to a norm. It's still really good, but it's questionable. The Titans are one of only two teams in the NFL who have now rushed more than they passed. They ran the ball 521 times compared to 485. They still have Derrick Henry there. It doesn't look like it's going to change. Is he really your top four, or are we coming like, are we just a hostage to the moment with that playoff production performance he just had?
I love AJ Brown, but he's not in my top four. He's not even in my top five. I love AJ Brown. I want to say that again, but look, I will live and die by AJ Brown being a wide receiver one on my team. I still think he's a wide receiver one, even if he's not in my top five. I expect him to be top 10 next year. I know he was wide receiver 12. That's not really being very bold, but you know, any inconsistencies or worries we have with AJ Brown, I'm not really worried about AJ Brown. I know they're a run first offense with Henry, but there's nothing that makes me worried about AJ Brown. The guy's a stud. Just an absolute. Brown and Metcalf should be the conversation we should be having. That's a very good debate that I would love to see some people have. I don't know. I don't even know who I would take out of AJ Brown and Metcalf. They're probably right neck and neck with me.
Honestly, I'm pretty sure I'm very similar to him. Don't know who I'd take. I'd mainly AJ Brown on that because they just use him in more variety of ways. Where Metcalf's kind of just a deep threat, but they try to force feed AJ Brown the ball, which I like.
Metcalf, I feel like I would take the fantasy version of, and AJ Brown, if we're talking actual NFL, I'd rather have AJ Brown. I think that's where I'm at with that, which isn't bad.
I want to move over to my guy now. I tied him all. He was my number two receiver in the draft this year. Or number three, I'm sorry. I don't want to lie. Number three receiver in the draft. Huge fan. Once he got picked up on the team, he moved to number one for this year's production. Ended up being that way. That's Justin Jefferson. He had a historic season. He had 1,400 yards, 7 touchdowns. He picked up right where Stephon Diggs left in Minnesota and was even better. He was 7th in air yards. He was top 12 in deep targets. His yak was crazy at 8, which we kind of blew over for when we were talking about Tracy Lookex. I love guys who can run after the catch. He did everything for that team, and nothing's changing there. They have consistent run game that opens up everything for the pass. He has a good receiver across from him who complements him. I think we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg. And out of all the receivers we're talking about who aren't going to be rookies next year, he's only 21. He's the youngest. I could make more of a case for him being picked above Metcalf and Brown. For me, I'd probably take him over either of them and Diggs. I think Hill and Adams are the only two I'd take over Justin Jefferson, and I'd still flinch if that trade offer was on the table.
That is literally what I wrote down here. Adams and Hill, they're the only two I'm taking over Justin Jefferson. You wrote in the show sheet, can an argument be made for him to be dynasty wide receiver one? In the words of Stone Cold Steve Austin, oh, hell yeah, 100%. I know, like you said, you had him three. I also had him three. Look, I know people were like, Judy or Lamb last draft season. But people were questioning things with those two. Maybe not as much CeeDee Lamb, but I feel like there were debates to be had. When you brought up Justin Jefferson last draft season, I feel like everybody universally loved him. The only question was like, oh, Ja'Marr Chase was across from him and they're in a historic offense with Joe Burrow. Was he really that good? But like that got put the wrist so fast. That got put the wrist so fast.
He was that good. He was everything.
100%.
Before we talk about guys who kind of just missed it, I want to hit a guy who's been tweener for you and I know are in the list. And it's Terry McLaurin. He's 25, so he's in his second year. He's a little old for that age. He has 2,000 yards and over 2,000 yards his first two seasons. And that's with a carousel of quarterbacks, includes Alex Smith, Dwayne Haskins, Kyle Allen, Tyler Heineke, Case Keenum, and Colt McCoy. So he's literally just had bottom barrel production in quarterbacks throwing him in an offense that was terrible on a team that just wants to run the ball and play defense. That gets fixed. It could skyrocket him. I mean, he already produced. He has a 1,000-yard season this year. Touchdowns were low, but that offense improves. That goes up. Where do you have him? Like, what do you consider with him right now? Because I don't know what to do with him because he's in between somewhere between elite or just good. Can he make the jump?
He can absolutely make the jump. Look, I agree with you. I agree with what you said. I think it's all about what Washington does with the quarterback position. They get there's a lot of teams right now that are just in this weird little limbo area of not having their guy at quarterback. Washington's right there with it. Although I don't like you dissing playoff legend Taylor Heineke. I talked about it last week in the building block running back pod with some of the guys that need their offense to take the next step. That's the exact thing with Terry McLaurin. He can't get any better right now. Like the only way he gets better is if the offense itself takes the next step. So we just got to wait for the QB. Hopefully they get their QB right.
Yeah, I hope we get some news early in free agency with them because they're not going to be all drafted on.
Stafford would look lovely in Washington. Just saying.
I don't think he goes anywhere, but that's just me. One guy I forgot to put on the show sheet, I know, who I'm just going to bring up is Kenny Golladay. I'm kind of in the same boat with him as McLaurin. Also 25, he's just battled injuries. And I want him to be good so bad. I love the idea of him. But I don't know if he's there yet.
I really like Kenny Golladay, but we're in a bit of limbo with him right now because it doesn't seem like he's going to go back to Detroit. We don't know where he's going to go. All these teams, like, just to stray a little bit from what we're talking about here, people, gear up for this offseason. This is going to be a weird offseason for the NFL. You're going to see teams cutting, like, high-priced veterans because the salary cap just dropped, extensively. You're going to see teams not being able to do anything because they didn't make enough money this year. People who think the salary cap is crap, oh boy, you're in for a rude awakening this offseason. Golladay's in the free agent pool. I don't think he's going to Detroit. Until we know where he's going, he's in limbo for me. I love him as a player, but if he pulls an Allen Robinson and goes to a team like the Bears, no, I'm not going to like him. He just fades for me. He needs to end up in the right spot for me to really love Kenny Golladay.
Yeah, I kind of feel like he might be that like wide receiver, mid to high wide receiver two, low wide receiver one for his whole career. Like I can see that, which isn't a bad thing. But we're talking about guys we're going to build our fantasy teams around. And that's not there. Speaking of that, we're going to talk about some guys who just kind of missed the list. One I didn't put on here, that's Julio. I think it's just age and getting beat up, and we don't know if Matt Ryan will be there. I love Julio Jones. He's one of the best ever, but not there for me. One I would really want to hit on is Michael Thomas. He's 27. We have a huge QB question coming next year because we don't know who it's going to be. It's going to be Winston. It's going to be Taysom Hill. And I say that with much disrespect. We don't know who it's going to be. He's very good. He's limited in what he does. We saw that he could be shut down in this playoffs. And I don't want to be, again, hostage to that moment, but he's not there for me. And he didn't have that elite production when he wasn't getting 160 targets this year. And without Drew Brees, I don't know if he will get that.
I mean, I'm right there with you with Michael Thomas. I don't, this is such an uncertain offseason for New Orleans. To be honest with you, I think he fits better with Taysom Hill than he does with Jameis Winston. Winston loves to go bombs away and all that. Michael Thomas makes his hay in the intermediate to short range. I mean, I don't know if Jameis is going to be able to, he'll be throwing a lot of picks if he's going to try and do that. Thomas is a PPR machine, regardless of who the QB is. Like that's his bread and butter. You brought up without him getting 160 targets, can he still be that? I would argue he's probably still going to get at least 120 targets.
That put him
is with
his career yards per catch, his lack of real yak yards.
If that drops like 90 receptions, what does that mean for him?
He's wide receiver too.
It could be. Could be. That's why he's not on the list. That's why he's not on the list. I agree with you. People like to hate on him, but I still think he's a very good receiver. And I know people like to hate on him, but like with that said, look, here's what I wanted to get to, because I came up with some trade offers for Michael Thomas. I think this is going to be good to his value. If you were offered the 101 for Mike Thomas, would you take it?
Oof, probably not.
Really?
I think super flex. Yes. If it's not, honestly,
not super flex. Super flex. Probably,
probably not. Because I mean, I love Najee Harris, but you know what? If I'm the 1.1, I earned that 1.1. I had it, but if I'm trading it and I had like him on my team, a contender, I'd probably keep Thomas.
All right. That's fair. Thomas for a late one and Curtis Samuel.
Thomas.
Okay. Thomas for a two. Care about Curtis Samuel. Oof. No respect for Curtis Samuel. No. I'm the guy defending Curtis Samuel. I never thought that would happen. Thomas for a two and Cooper Kupp.
Oh, I'd have to think about it. I'd probably lean Thomas.
If Kupp didn't have those injury concerns, I don't think this is a question.
I'm a Bobby Woods guy, but yeah, it's close.
All right, Thomas for a late one and Laviska Shenault.
Probably still Thomas.
Ooh, you like Michael Thomas a little more than you think.
I do. I think Michael Thomas is very, very good player, and I'm completely comfortable starting him week in, week out. He just doesn't give me that upside of an elite guy now.
I got you.
Like, all right, he's a late second round pick for me now.
One last one, because this is gonna tease something for later. Thomas for Chase Claypool and a third.
Still Thomas.
Okay. All right. I should have put a second on that. Should have put a second one on that one. But we'll move on now.
We'd be considering it then. Okay. We got real off track there. Other guy who kind of just missed the list. I love him. He is, like you said about Thomas, a PPR machine. He's attached to a young quarterback. It's Keenan Allen. I feel like no matter what, Keenan Allen's Keenan Allen. He's great. But I don't want him as my number one wide receiver on my team. I want him as a complimentary piece. Yeah. He's going to get you very solid. He's going to get you 15 to 18 PPR points week in, week out. But he's not going to get me those week winning 40-point games like we're going to see those guys above. That's the only thing keeping him there for me. I love him. I think that offense is only on the upside, but there's still the weapons there who weren't all fully healthy this year.
Do they entertain a wide receiver in round one?
No.
You don't think?
They have other needs.
About Pitts?
Huh?
What about Pitts?
It depends if Hunter Henry's back.
I don't think he will be. I think he's gone.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, his contract situation, with the way he gets injured, I think they can lowball him, but we'll see on that.
I think if you lowball him, he's on a one-way train to New England.
Oh my god!
Yep.
Moving on. Now I didn't want to talk. All Patriots fans think every player is going to their team. It's understandable.
When one actually happens, it's going to happen. Odell Beckham.
It'll hit one of these days. All right. I want to talk about some of the guys who are going to. I think who have the potential to make the leap. We'll see what we think on them. I want to start with one we mentioned earlier, and I honestly put out some trade offers for him today, and I think he's right up there and could easily make this list next year. That's CeeDee Lamb. He had a very good season, but if you look in a nutshell what he did when Dak Prescott was on the field, he absolutely shredded it. If you took that 5-game sample size of Dak and took it out to a full 16-game season, we're looking at 128 targets for 92 yards, 128 targets, 92 receptions, 1,385 yards, 9.6 touchdowns. So that's 284 PPR points, which puts him at wide receiver 5 this year. And that's with Cooper playing. That's with Gallup. Dak loved him. He's an absolute stud of wide receiver. Talent-wise, he's up there with any single player we talked about. I think we're Dak Prescott away from it, and I think Dak's there next year. I have no fear of CeeDee Lamb, and I'd offer some big players for him.
I'd agree with that. I'd agree with that.
All those trades you mentioned with Michael Thomas, if you'd put, I'd trade Michael Thomas for CeeDee Lamb straight up.
I would too. Absolutely. Dak was on pace to throw the ball over 700 times this year. How about that number?
I did not know that. That was absurd.
Dallas is going to throw the whole hotel of money at Dak. Let's see if it gets it done. That means that that defense is not going to get fixed with even a strong draft class. Plenty of CeeDee Lamb next year. Plenty of CeeDee Lamb. I expect him to be a top 10 wide receiver, 100%.
Yeah, I think he can make that jump to the top 5.
With that said, everything comes off the table if Dak's not there. If Dak's not there, then I'm reserving reservation. I still think he could be a top, probably top 15. Yeah, I think 15 is a good number. I think he'll be a top 15 guy even without Dak. But Dak, if Dak's there, he'll take a legitimate elite step.
Yeah. Other rookie from that class who I think's very, very good player is T. Higgins. He had 908 yards this year and 6 touchdowns, and he had Burrow for 10 games. And while he was there, they're still both getting their feet wet in the NFL. I think he's as much upside as any of these guys. Like, I think he can be – I don't know if you make the top 5, but I could see him squarely between like 8-13 range year out wide receiver.
I would like that for him. That was a hell of a year for T. Higgins. That was a hell of a year for T. Higgins. I'm going to say it. He finished wide receiver 28, which is one spot ahead of Tyler Boyd. Is he the number one wide receiver in Cincinnati already? I'd say yeah.
He ended AJ Green there.
Yep. Yes, he did. We'll see how high he can go. That was a promising first year. Like we said, we got to see how much Burrow can do in this offseason. I put a lot of stock into that. I want Burrow to be working with Higgins in the offseason. If Burrow's at all limited, that worries me just a little bit. But I think the sky's the limit for T. Higgins. He was really impressive this year.
Yeah, I mean, Burrow's not there at the end of the season, though. That gives you a bye window at Higgins.
Very true.
But he's also, I think, somebody I think he's very attainable right now.
Yes.
Next couple guys I'm going to pair together just because they're teammates. I want to give the Steelers receivers, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool. Juju isn't going to be there next year. No. I mean, I think there's maybe a 5% chance he's back. They have no cap space, and Spotrac has him projected market value $15 million. I just don't see it happening on a team with these two. If you look at them last year, they both played very well. Deontay had 144 targets to Claypool's 109. Yardage-wise, they're almost the same at 923 to 873. In favor of Deontay, and Claypool got more touchdowns, 9-7. But we saw Deontay miss some time. Deontay Johnson looks like an absolute target hog. Like, he could be that fill-in guy for your young Keenan Allen replacement on your team. And at a very cheap rate. And Chase Claypool has unlimited upside with his touchdown protection, deep ball ability. Out of those two, who would you want?
The way I view it, like you said, with Johnson being the target hog, he seems like the guy who's going to have the high PPR production. I think Claypool's the bigger home run threat. If you're going to make me pick, I'm all in on Chase Claypool. Like, I'm all in on Chase Claypool being the next great receiver in Pittsburgh. I could see both of them being great. I think they're going to be a really good 1-2 punch for years to come. And I know we get on Johnson a lot for the drops, but honestly, a lot of receivers have the drop problem. That's fixable. That's a fixable problem. If you're going to make me choose between the two, I really like Chase Claypool, but we'll see what happens with the offense there. This is another weird offseason coming in Pittsburgh. Cause Ben's like, I want to be back. And Mike Tomlin's like, pump the brakes, big guy. You're making $40 million. We were just the most one-dimensional offense I've ever seen in my life. I think we got to make some changes. We'll see what they do.
Yeah, I agree. There are no teams in limbo. And one more year with Big Ben or none. They're not going to finish in top 10 draft potential, which makes replacing the quarterback rough.
Yeah.
But I like both of them. And follow up with them. Do you think we could see kind of the situation we see with the Rams where they could both be top 20 wide receivers year in, year out?
Yeah. You get the right guy quarterback 100%. Yeah. Okay. I think they're both that good.
And the other young tandem we saw both had their issues, one injuries, one drops, is the Denver Broncos receivers, Jerry Jeudy and Courtland Sutton. I'm not sure what to make of their offense. I know they're both very talented guys. Jeudy was most people's wide receiver one or two last year. Courtland Sutton the year before was in most people's top three for wide receiver rookies. Do we have the upside with Sutton with Jeudy there, or are they limiting each other? Their skill sets work well, very similar to Claypool and Johnson. But there's a lot of question marks. They trust Drew Locke. Is Noah Fant going to hurt the touchdown production for Sutton? There's a lot of questions there, but there's also a lot of talent. Does that trump it?
We need to get rid of Drew Locke, man. Get rid of Drew Locke now. If we go another year with Drew Locke in Denver, Matt's going to hate this part of the podcast. If we go another year with Drew Locke in Denver, we're kidding ourselves. John Lobb will tell us himself. He's the Denver fan. He knows. He watches all the Denver games. Drew Locke's not the answer. He's not the guy. He never was the guy. He was never going to be the guy in Denver. I cannot see the Denver offense taking a leap until they get the QB. Again, they're in that weird lull that needs the quarterback. There's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks.
What's their ceiling then for you?
With Drew Locke there, I mean, where did Jeudy finish? Was he top 35, top 36?
I think he's top 36, yeah.
He's got to be. He had 800.
Yeah, he had a nice season.
He's getting killed for the drops, but he did have not a bad year. I mean, if we're still rolling Drew Locke out there, I could see them both going top 36. I really like Courtland Sutton. I think Courtland Sutton's probably a top 24 with Drew Locke. But with Drew Locke, I think Judy's capped at top 36 and Sutton's capped at top 24. They need a new guy in there, man. If they could get Zach Wilson, oh man, that is where I would like Zach Wilson to go. That's an unheralded spot. We're not talking about enough. That would be nice.
Who would you want? Who do you want on your team out of those two? Right now, you had on the board. Those are your two choices in a vacuum.
Oh man, Jeudy. I guess would be the I guess not. That's so tough. That is so tough. Recency bias. I'm going to get yelled at for recency bias if I say Jeudy. I think I'll take Sutton. I think Sutton's such a stud. I really do. I think Sutton's a really good player. I'll take Sutton.
Okay. Is there anybody that I missed on the sheet that you think should be on this list? Will it be like an Amari Cooper or any of these lists? Cooper, any other receivers like that?
We didn't talk enough about Scotty Miller, which is a problem. But
guys, catch y'all next week. okay. While we're there, I mean, might as well bring up Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. I mean, Mike Evans is consistent, man. He's going to get you 1,000 yards, 8 to 10 touchdowns year in, year out. He's going to be that wide receiver one range. And it could go up if Godwin separates. What's Godwin's ceiling? Because he's the younger one. He's the one we're going to be building around. On teams, he was I seen him in the top three last year for Dynasty. Where is he now? Like, do we want him to stay in Tampa or do we want him to move on?
Is Antonio Brown there next year? If Antonio Brown's in Tampa Bay next year, no, I want Chris Godwin to leave. But if Antonio Brown's not there, I would like Chris Godwin to come back. This was a rough year for Godwin with him with the injuries. I really thought he would have a better year. But I don't know. I really think Godwin fits what Brady likes. The problem is the aforementioned Scotty Miller just popped up out of nowhere and Brady made him a thing. I don't know, man. I don't know. That Tampa Bay offense is hard to decipher. Brady spreads the ball around so well. I mean, the only thing going into the season when we were doing the projections, the only thing I was very confident in, Mike Evans' very high touchdown number. He had 13. Just very confident in that.
He always has it.
But like with Brady, I knew that would be a good boom for him. And I knew Brady would have a good season because, good God, how could he not with all those weapons around him? So Tampa's a really, really weird offense to project right now. If I had my choice, I would have Godwin leave. If I'm Godwin, I would want to leave, to be honest. I would try to go get my money somewhere else.
where would you like him? Like, is anywhere you think he could really excel at?
Oh, man.
I mean, he's such a talented guy, but he's also a specific role. Like, he's a high-end slot receiver. Like, that's what he is. Like, where can he go where he's going to make an impact? That's the big question with him.
Well, good
there's a lot of very good wide receivers in the league.
If we could finally get Aaron Rodgers, one of those really good slot weapons, maybe that would work out. Who knows?
But, yeah. And we've seen Rodgers have two high-end get receivers before. But, yeah, I like that actually a lot.
Hey, I don't know what happened. There are always wide receiver needy teams, man. He will have a market, 100%.
I won't put the ball towards the wide receiver needy team, but fantasy wise, he's not really great there either.
Yeah, he had 100. Didn't he have 100 catches last year? He's a good player.
I don't know if he could get that elite production if he went to Baltimore, which breaks my heart.
Oh, if he went to Baltimore, why would you want to cap the ceiling of my man, Big Play Duvernay? All right. Let me have nice things. Duvernay's coming along just fine.
Yes, I love Duvernay.
That's my guy.
And how about OBJ? Are we done with him? Is he out of the elite thing? Are we chopping up the injuries, new scenario? Because he can be cut for zero money.
Is he in a buy window right now? Like, if you can probably get him so cheap. Do you take a chance on him? I don't know, man. I don't know what to think of OBJ right now. I'll say this right now. I don't think he's going to be back in Cleveland. Why would Cleveland bring him back? There's no reason to. Donovan Peoples Jones is the truth. He's a good player, man. He showed out this year. I'm high on him.
Yeah, I'm sad I didn't buy him anywhere. So upcoming draft class, I just want to touch on it real quick. Three guys I want to bring up, possibly a fourth. Three names we keep hearing, Jamar Chase, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle. How are you viewing these three? Because I feel like I'm a little different than most on this, but maybe not. I don't know.
Well, I have them ranked Chase, Waddle, Smith. That's my ranking. A lot of people are going to look at just the season at face value of what Devontae Smith did, and they're going to be like, wow, it's the wide receiver one. Jamar Chase didn't play last year. Jalen Waddle got hurt. Trust me when I say when Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith were on the field at the same time this year, Jalen Waddle was the better wide receiver. Jalen Waddle has more attributes that are going to help him dominate in the NFL. I think he has Tyreek Hill type potential with Jalen Waddle. That doesn't mean Devontae Smith isn't great, but I feel very strongly about Jalen Waddle. If Jalen Waddle didn't get hurt, he might be my wide receiver one. I can't do that out of respect for Jamar Chase. I cannot do that.
I actually do have the same water. So yeah, I love Jamar Chase. He was unstoppable at LSU across from Justin Jefferson. Like, he was so good. He made people question if Justin Jefferson was great when he had 1,500 yards. He's former Blitnikoff. He's unbelievable. I think he has the best chance of being a top five receiver in the NFL. He has a size speed combination, big playability. He's the absolute complete package. He can win above the rim. And I think Jalen Waddle has a lot of really good receiver qualities as well. And with breakneck speed, and Devonta Smith has it too, but I think Smith is more of a good or a great NFL player than a great fantasy asset, because we've seen it with these big play wide receivers like that, these speed guys. You need the perfect situation for them to ball out.
Yep.
Like Tyreek Hill, he has the perfect offense for him. Mm-hmm. Is Tyreek Hill this good in Oakland? Like the Raiders, like we've seen struggles with Henry Ruggs. Is he good if he went to Tennessee or another team? I don't know if we see that without a Patrick Mahomes throw it to him. Same with Tyler Lockett, who has a perfect situation with Russell Wilson, who's one of the best deep ball throwers, most accurate deep ball passes in the league. I think you need that for Devontae Smith to be a fantasy star, where I think the other two are more scheme diverse, and they can do a lot more for you. Nothing against him. I think he's a top-notch talent. But yeah. I think these other two just can be day one starters, fantasy impact. I think Chase can be a top 12 receiver very soon rather than later.
Did you get a hold of my show notes? Because, like, I literally wrote that. I literally wrote, I'm like, Jamar Chase and Jalen Waddle in the draft, I don't care where they go. I am all in on those two being studs. Like, whatever, wherever they land, I'm like, yeah, I'm really high on them. Devontae Smith, I need to see where he goes first. Because, like you said, if he ends up in a place like Oakland, who just kills hopes and dreams. I don't know what the hell Oakland's or we're saying Oakland, Las Vegas, whatever, Gruden, whatever they're doing over there. Like, if he ends up in a place like that, I'm going to look at Devontae Smith and be like, well, I'm definitely higher on the other two. I don't know if I would ever vault somebody else ahead of Smith, though, even with a bad landing spot.
Smith.
Oh, okay. I'm talking about like if from behind the top three, if somebody came up below the top three, I even with a bad landing spot, I would still probably put my blind faith in Devontae Smith's talent.
Rashad Bateman could be somebody for me who could sneak in there. I'm a big fan of his game. I think he has a lot of attributes. Again, he can play above the rim a little bit better than these guys. He's bulky. He has deep playability. I think he's a star. Too. I think he's another guy. Right landing spot can be an instant impact player.
But that's fair.
I'm really excited for this class. I think we're going to have a lot of starters. I'm sure there'll be some people sneak up on us who will probably hit later in the shows. But awesome. Eric, tell everybody where they can find you. Anything you're working on?
We are at the FF_Taters on the old Twitter there. Currently working on anything. I don't really think I'm working on anything right now. We got some secret projects in the work that we're waiting to announce.
Wink, wink.
But, yeah, other than that, you know, just coasting and loving life, my man.
Awesome. Well, and you can find me, Ryan Sirfoss, at Foss534. As usual, thanks for checking out the Dynasty Draft Room presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Podcast Network. If you enjoyed the show, make sure to subscribe. Give us a 5-star review and come check us out next week and make sure to check out all our other great shows, and we'll catch you guys later.
Later, taters.